It's Dave Plyer on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. So Christmas is such a beautiful time of year. Family, friends, neighbors welcomed into our homes. Parties, the spirit of gift-giving, but many forget the true meaning of Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Christ. God gave us the greatest gift of all, and all the wisdom, peace, and comfort the little child would grow to give us as a very way of life and a pathway to God. So as Christmas approaches, we invite His Eminence, the newly elevated Cardinal Blaise Cupich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to join our show this morning. Good morning, Cardinal Cupich.
Good morning, Dave, and to all of your listeners.
So glad you could join us again, and congratulations on becoming our seventh cardinal to serve the Archdiocese of Chicago. Very exciting.
Well, it's an honor, especially as I think of all those who have gone before me and have had this role in the church and in the city. So I'm really very honored to be listed among those wonderful people.
Well, you were among 17 cardinals from six continents named in the ceremony that was held in early November. Share with us just a little bit about the experience of that day.
Well, it was a day that was filled with a lot of emotion and activity and commitments. One thing that I really had to do is to focus on every moment because I wanted to be able to recall it and enjoy it. I had my family there that was very special, but also a lot of people from Chicago and the other places that I served, Omaha, Nebraska, Spokane, Washington, Rapid City, Columbus, Ohio, and Washington, D.C. So it was a moment to really give thanks to all of those who had an impact on my life.
How wonderful, how wonderful. And the photo seen around the world was as you presented Pope Francis with the Chicago Cubs baseball cap. And I cannot tell you the buzz, the excitement that that brought back to our city.
Well, yes. And the other thing that was part of it, part of that photo was I had handed him a signed baseball by the team. And that was what he was looking at in the photo. That was, I think, a very special thing because it really put in front of him all of those fine people who were part of the team who made that victory of the World Series possible. So I really brought the whole team with me on that moment.
You really did. You really did. You know, we are living in one of the most divisive political climates of our time, and there is so much hostility toward people of different nationalities, races, or beliefs. You know, in the Chicago Archdiocese, Masses are said in over 25 languages. The church to me, and attending weekly Mass, has always been a place of peace for me, and it needs to continue to be a place of peace where we can bring people together.
Well, that's so true, and we need to do that because we need each other. When we stand shoulder to shoulder and worship together, we all begin, as we always do, the Eucharist, by admitting our own failings and our weaknesses. And that is what we share in common, and that's why we're there for each other, because we know that we all have clay feet. So I think that it is a very sobering moment for us when we come together, but also one that enriches us to know that there are people willing to come each and every week to stand shoulder to shoulder with us.
What are your thoughts and advice to those who will be getting together during the Christmas season with friends and family that might not agree with their political affiliation or opinions? Because it's been a tough couple of months in our country. How can faith intervene to provide some of that sense of peace around the holidays?
Well, I think that it's, first of all, to have real respect for each other, no matter what the positions are politically or in terms of social issues. If we begin with a real sense of respect, but also humility that we don't have all the answers ourselves, and we need to learn from one another. That's one of the things the Pope has been saying. Dialogue is so very important because not only is it an opportunity for us to share our views, but also to have our own ways of thinking challenged, and that we can be informed by the wisdom and experiences of other people. No one person has the corner on the market when it comes to knowledge and wisdom. So I think we should mix both respect and humility at this time of the year when we come together with people who might not agree with us.
I think that's the most important thing is respect and conversation. You can respect other people's opinions, but I agree. You can totally learn from them as well. You launched, Cardinal Cupich, an archdiocese-wide initiative last February called Renew My Church, you know, to consider the big questions of revitalization, reorganization. We talked about that at Easter. The Archdiocese projects going, you know, from 766 priests in the beginning of this last year to 240 in 2030 to serve nearly 350 parishes. And I know my parish. We have begun to evaluate strengths and weaknesses and are in the beginning stages of shaping our future. We have a brand new young pastor, Father James Wallace, which we are very excited about and are very grateful for. It's critical for parishioners to get involved in this process in the new year, especially younger families. And as you have said, everybody has skin in the game here.
Right. And I would just mention that while we're going from 700 priests, the number 240 is the number of pastors that we will need, but we'll have more priests than the 240. But you're right. I think that no matter what the demographic is of your given parish, or whether or not you have many resources and a lot of programs going, everyone has to be a part of this, and because we have to make sure that we understand that we have limited resources in terms of human personnel, but also human resources. We have limitations when it comes to the whole business of financial resources that people that we can support. So I think as long as we continue to work together, my hope would be that this is going to make us stronger because we will find a new opportunity to get to know each other better and to work together as one community here in the two counties of Lake and Cook.
Well, it's a great opportunity to learn, you know, from one another as well, because there are so many successes and successful programs in so many parishes, and there's other parishes that are still trying to find their way to attract families and so forth, to attend Mass every week, to get into their schools. So it's a great opportunity for the community to learn from one another in this process as well.
Without question. I think that's something that I think is going to make us stronger in the long run.
Now, one of the easily identifiable issues, but somewhat challenging to resolve, is the fact that we've got over 75,000 children attending schools within the Archdiocese, and families, parents,
right,
are very involved with the school. And this is something I've noticed. I head my parish council in St. Juliana, and they're very involved with the school. But I think sometimes they forget that the core of the school is the church and the parish itself. And attendance is down, and we need to come up with creative ways to get younger generations involved with the church and attend Mass on a weekly basis. That is really, you know, it's part of the commandments. You're supposed to be doing that every week.
Well, and I think that's what's important, especially with parents with children in school. They're sacrificing so much for the education of their children and to have the faith passed on. And the best way that it's going to be passed on and reinforced is the practice of the faith themselves in their home. There's only so much that can be done during the school day. And so if in fact the parents are doing everything possible to reinforce what's done during the classroom time, whether that's in school or in religious education, the child is going to be better off. So this is an investment in the life, faith life of children, not only for this life in terms of bringing them into an understanding of what is morally upright and appropriate for a Christian to live their life, but also an investment in their eternal life. And that is the challenge that I would make to people. You invest so much already in your children. Go the extra step and become involved in the life of your parish.
Well, and one of the things, too, is I see with my family, and I've got three children, is that, you know, through a very, very intense, busy week with school and sports and so many other commitments and activities, this is probably the 1 hour a week. Even having, you know, a conversation at the dinner table can be a little rambunctious. This is the 1 hour a week that you can sit with your family and with your community and find that sense of peace.
That's right. And I think, you know, we should never forget that parents are the first teachers. And of course, they're the first ones that their children learn from. So no matter what you do in a classroom or in a religious education program, that will be undercut because if the parents aren't practicing the faith, it doesn't matter what you're doing in those sessions. They will learn from their first teachers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as Christmas weekend approaches, and believe me, I love seeing the church packed with parishioners, which it always is at Christmas. I always hope it leaks into the new year. And I'm hopeful again this year that that will happen. But with the Christmas fast approaching, it is really easy sometimes to forget the true meaning of the season.
Well, yes. And what's important, I think, for all of us, especially as we look at the world today, that is filled with all sorts of fears and anxieties and threats to safety and security, but also where there are people in our own midst who feel excluded and marginalized and who are living in the shadows, that is the same story of the Holy Family. They were refugees. They were under the threat of a power that did not count them as important. They had also a poverty that restricted their ability to the point where they didn't have a place to have the child born in a regular way, had to be born in a stable. So I think it's important for us to realize that their story is our story, not maybe our own family, but the story of humanity. And so we really can't distance ourselves from the people who today are the Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, who are without a place to live, who are threatened because they are refugees, who are fleeing for their life. They're our brothers and sisters. If we really claim Mary and Joseph and Jesus as part of our Holy Family, then we have to also include the people who are the new Mary and Joseph and Jesus today.
Well, it is always an absolute pleasure speaking with you again. Congratulations on your elevation, and I appreciate you spending some time with us at this important time of the year. His Eminence Cardinal Blaise Supich, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas
to
you,
Dave,
and your family.
And a special word of thanks to all of those who are first responders, people who are working in hospitals and helping people who can't be home at this time with their families. A blessing to all of them in a special way.
And we keep them in our prayers as well. Merry Christmas to you, Cardinal.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. It's 720 WGN.